we're not better off because we've broken all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a certain amount of rule breaking you want, right? There's a certain amount of rule breaking that you want to have, you know, and I think Jordan Peterson brings this up with Harry Potter series.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids in the Harry Potter series, they're always breaking the rules, but they're not going so far to break the rules to obliterate the entire structure that Hogwarts has, right? They're breaking the rules just enough to challenge the authority and save the school. Hello and welcome to the Brothers Random Show. My name is Travis.
And I'm Michael.
And we are two ordinary brothers discussing extraordinary ideas and some random shit. So the topics on the show range from theology, masculinity, stories, movies, philosophy, books, pop culture, and many other subjects. We often talk about the people we admire and the wisdom that they share. People such as Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, who we believe is the sage of our time. Michael, why are we here?
Today we're talking about continuing our discussion on the Exodus episodes that Jordan Peterson put together with the Daily Wire.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Turns out that a book is more durable than stone. It's more durable than a castle. It's more durable than an empire.
You don't get away with anything. And so you might think you can bend the fabric of reality and that you can treat people instrumentally and that you can bow to the tyrant and violate your conscience without cost. You will pay the piper. It's going to call you out of that slavery into freedom, even if that pulls you into the desert.
And God is ethic-centered, not ethnic-centered.
Well, do you want the Pharaoh on your side or do you want God on your side? That's kind of the question.
Where he brought a bunch of scholars and they talk about reading through Exodus and going through it with a fine tooth comb. This is the last of for a little bit. We'll kind of get into it, but they took a break after this one, but this one is delving real deep into the story of Moses ruling over the children of Israel, and his father-in-law Jethro comes and sees what he's doing and says, this is not good, because it's one guy and he's
ruling over a nation of people, right?
All their problems are coming to him. Everyone's coming to him. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And Jethro notices this and he's like, hey, buddy, you got to make some changes. But as they kind of they're getting into that. One thing that JP notes, he's just like, we know Moses has children, but they never really talk about what his children do.
Well, before we get into that, we should probably just say, Michael and I were raised on a Mormon polygamous, compound. So we have affinity for religion, but the religion is probably, we have a different take on the religious aspects, but we are also very fascinated by religion as well. And Exodus is the book in the Bible that, deals mostly with Moses, and we really enjoy Jordan Peterson's material. So we will be discussing this. We've been kind of slowly going through it. We have episodes 1 through 7 already out on our channel. So check those out. And you did mention the interesting aspects that Dennis Prager, who's on this panel, brings up about Moses's children, his sons. And they imply that they don't amount to much. And it goes back to the age-old question, can great men have great children? And it's hard to tell, really, because when you go to Marcus Aurelius, he has Commodus, who's a terrible ruler. And Marcus Aurelius was a very wise and benevolent ruler. I mean, he had his moments. They had a plague during his time that kind of screwed him over. But anyway, it's the age old question. Can great men have great children?
I wonder, and I don't know, maybe this would be a deep dive that we'd do, but John Adams had John Quincy Adams. Ended up being presidents of the United States. I mean,
That's a good point.
Maybe it'd be interesting to deep dive into John Adams and be like, all right, this guy had a great kid. Maybe.
Well, and he was, and you know, maybe John Adams was a good enough man that he was able to do great things and also raise good children. Which it just seems like it's such a bizarre thought that, you know, we have many, many examples of them. Like you never hear about, George Washington's, children. In fact, I don't think he had any real blood children. He married a woman that already had children. You never hear about that. You never hear about, if you think of the, like I already mentioned Marcus Aurelius, I'm trying to think of, you know, like some of the filmmakers that I've always admired. I love Steven Spielberg's films. You don't ever hear about his kids making anything. I love James Cameron's films. You don't ever hear about him making anything. James Cameron actually has like three ex-wives or four ex-wives at this point. I mean, it's hard that those are more modern, but you know, they're great filmmakers. Ridley Scott is a great filmmaker. You don't hear about his children making good films. So
in the modern age, I wonder if when we don't hear anything about famous people's kids, if there's like a level of those kids kind of seeing that fame and how it was and just realizing that they didn't really want any part of that.
Yeah. There could be that. Yeah.
There might be something to that. But this, I mean, Joe, if you remember Joe Rogan and
Ryan Holiday,
Yeah. They had a pretty long discussion about this
I remember
Ryan that. Holiday was kind of just like, I don't know, when you're okay, so history puts you as great, you're probably really busy. Bad. I mean,
so how does a man like that, who's so introspective and so thoughtful, particularly for the times, how does a man like that have a son that's such a piece of shit?
I don't know. I mean, one argument is he's a psychopath and there's sort of nothing you can do. Like, no blame whatsoever. The other argument, the more likely one, is like most great men, and we're talking about history, so it's mostly great men, but again, Queen Elizabeth has crappy kids. Most great men are shitty fathers. Gandhi was a bad father. Winston Churchill was not a good father.
Why is that?
I think they're busy.
I guess probably comes at some kind of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like
King Leonidas was written down as history as a great man and a great leader. And you don't hear about his children. You don't hear about Alexander the Great's children. I'm sure he had children, but you know, they may mention it. Like if you do deep dive into history, you might find out that they had children, but these children didn't end up conquering like a third of the world or in their lifetime or whatever. Genghis Khan had so many children that they say that almost every lineage in
like two thirds of
Asia is his from his
is his. Lineage or something
crazy like that. So I mean, and you know, I this goes back, this also goes to like the idea of, is great just because you're remembered, or were you great because you were also benevolent and good? Because Genghis Khan wasn't known for being benevolent and good, and neither was Alexander the Great. They were brutal men. So it makes you wonder, like, what makes a great man then? Is it because he's going to be remembered way past his death? You know, I believe that George Washington was benevolent. I believe John Adams was benevolent. So they probably had, and you mentioned John Adams had John Quincy Adams. So he's the one rare exception to this rule, I believe.
Well, and I mean, we could probably do some research on it.
For a longer episode.
Because yeah. I don't know how good a president he was. Well,
he didn't serve John a Quincy second term. John Quincy Adams, I don't know how many terms he served, but John Adams didn't serve a second term. He only served one term. So he was not a popular president in his time. So
maybe because he liked his family. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't. It is a funny, like, so Moses, you never hear about his children. And I mean, Isaac, you hear about his because he had Jacob, right? And you hear about Jacob having Joseph, right? So mm-hmm. You do hear about their children.
Huh.
It's hard to say why Moses, the probably outside of maybe Jesus, Moses is the most famous character in the Bible. If you really think about it. And certainly the most famous character in the Jewish Bible as well. So, mm-hmm. It's like, it's hard to say whether there is an argument to be made that maybe great men, because they're busy ruling over, a nation, maybe don't like Ryan Holiday said, maybe they just don't have time to spend with their children, and that's why their children don't become great.
Well, and with Jethro, the Moses's father-in-law, noticing that he's one guy and all the people are coming to him with all their problems.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable.
And he also says you're in danger of becoming a pharaoh yourself.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if he comes right out. Does he?
I don't think he says that, but they imply it.
They imply that it could be that was behind it. There was that risk.
Yes.
Of that.
Well, and it goes back to you and I always talking about the one man-itis, the one mighty and strong. It's mm-hmm. it corrupts men, and Moses even let it corrupt him when he took credit for the water from the rock.
Yeah. When he struck the rock and made it bring water and kind of did that without
God's praise, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. He was basically saying, I did this, mm-hmm. So he was not an incorruptible man. He was still human. He was still fallible, which is why he doesn't get to go to the promised land. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. They talk about, I think they've talked about this. We who screw up royally don't get to go to the promised land. Right. So if you do something so heinous and so wrong, I mean, there's always forgiveness. There's always the road to cleaning yourself up, but it's a lot. You may never get to the promised land. That's an interesting concept there.
It's interesting. They kind of touch on this later on in the conversation, but because somewhere in there, God makes a commandment and that if you disobey this commandment, it's at your peril. And yeah. And JP, he's just like, a lot of people will look at this and be like, God's so mean.
Oh yeah. Why is he so mean?
Why is he so mean? But he just points out that he says, touch sacred things at your peril, but it's also you just you break the rules at your peril.
Yeah. If you're breaking, I think in society right now, we are breaking all the rules and things aren't better in society.
Yeah.
We've got suicide up way high. We've got, we've got depression. Levels are high. We have obliterated all gender norms. And because that, you know, whatever stance you stand on the gender norms thing is, are we better off having obliterated those? The birth gap is widening in society. The birth gap is becoming quite perilous in other countries like Japan and China. China's in for it. We're not better off because we've broken all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a certain amount of rule breaking you want, right? There's a certain amount of rule breaking that you want to have, you know, and I think Jordan Peterson brings this up with Harry Potter series.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids in the Harry Potter series, they're always breaking the rules, but they're not going so far to break the rules to obliterate the entire structure that Hogwarts has, right? They're breaking the rules just enough to challenge the authority and save the school, right? That's essentially what it all kind of comes down to. And there's a certain amount of rule breaking that you want for your children, right? You want for your, because they won't become independent without breaking a little bit of rules ahead of the time. Now, what we've done with that as a society is we've decided that rule breaking is the only thing that's good, that we must break all the rules so that you can achieve your full self. And by doing that, we've really just ruined society. All the rule breaking has done is just made everything worse. Mm-hmm. I don't think, and we don't
know how to fix it. It's like, how do we scale this back, guys?
How do we bring it all back? Because like, we're a nation of people that started breaking the rules, right? We had a revolutionary war.
Yep.
And we broke the rules against a tyranny. And that's when we were doing it right. Right. And so we're a nation of people who are like, oh yeah, we're just going to break the rules. We're just going to keep breaking the rules. And we keep breaking the rules and keep breaking the rules. I mean, the George Floyd riots were a disaster for this country that I don't think we fully. And it was just a bunch of people breaking rules. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Yeah. To your point though, like, you want to break the rules, but in.
But not break the structure.
Right.
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 That's a good way to put
structure.
It.
I guess that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
But you see that in entrepreneurship, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the right word?
I guess the challenge would be is knowing how far to take it. Right. So you want, yeah,
how,
you want
how
to
far
be able
to take the breaking of the rules,
the breaking
right?
of the rules. Right.
Cause and maybe it's the breaking the right rules. Right. So if you're breaking the rule of getting out of your 9-to-5 and doing what you're passionate about, you know, entrepreneurship, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making more money because you're able to, monetize this one thing that nobody else has been able to monetize up till now, kind of thing, right? Like, who was the kid that made Facebook?
Zuckerberg,
right? Zuckerberg comes along.
He was breaking.
This.
He was kind of breaking rules because there was, what was it called originally? It wasn't called Facebook. It was called like Lookbook or something like that. It was,
yeah.
And it was just to rate women is what it was. And he kind of brought it to the next level.
Rate women. Oh, okay. That's kind of breaking rules. Right. Like, but it's not like,
it's got more potential. Like, it's got more, you know,
it's not, oh, overtly horrible, right?
Yeah.
And then he's able to, and then he drops out of college, right?
Yeah,
so that's
Harvard.
Another broken rule, right? Like, you don't drop out of college.
Like the elite school. You don't drop out.
Wasn't
it
Harvard? It was like Harvard. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. He dropped out of Harvard because he had better things to do than go to school.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know, taken off, right? So some of these things, yeah, you want to be able to break the rules, but
don't obliterate the structure. So it's like
right.
Work within the bounds of a structure. You're right. It's like you have to really be breaking the right rules, because if you break the wrong rules, you could just tear the whole thing down. And I think that's where we're at as a society. Like everybody's, oh yeah, let's break the rules. Let's not conform to gender norms. Well, I don't think society's better because of it, because we're not
nihilism. Like just
nihilism
rising.
Is on the rise, right?
Yeah.
Nihilism is way high at this point in our society. Nobody looks at their life right now and goes, oh yeah, I'm crushing it and I'm doing really well. Like almost everybody you talk to is like, oh no, you know, I don't really feel that great about anything, you know, and that's nihilism. So, unfortunately that's, you know, that could be because of the rule breakers breaking the wrong rules.
Maybe we've broken the wrong rules. That is kind of at the end of this episode, spoilers, but like at the end of this episode, they talk a little bit, just kind of overall about what they've been talking about in their deep dive of Exodus. Mm-hmm. One of the guys, I want to say it was Dr. Oz. He's just like, you know, there is a lot of people that feel lost, that don't know where they are and can't find their place and nihilistic, right? He's like, there's a lot of good things and wisdom in here, and they should dive into this book, the Bible, and see if they can find something there. And it was kind of just a little bit of an invitation, a challenge, if you will, I guess.
Was it Dr. Blackwood that says, in the desert, God is revealed? He's referring to the United States right now. He says we are in the desert, and it's interesting concept.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting concept when you think about it, because if you think of AA members, they revert back to God to save themselves.
Yeah. Even though in a secular society, there's things that people are still trying to grasp onto, to a higher ethic.
Yeah. To help them out of the darkness. Right.
Yeah.
That's why the AA prayer, what is it? It starts out, God grant me the wisdom to, change the things that I can and
the wisdom to know the difference.
Something along those lines. But that's the AA prayer, and it's actually to God. So if you're atheistic and you're a drunk, you're going to have a hard time getting help through AA, because AA leads you back to a higher power, a star in the sky, something that's outside of yourself. And when you're in the bounds of nihilism through and alcohol, it doesn't do you any good. When you're in that, you're in the desert, right? And in the desert, Blackwood says, in the desert, God reveals himself. So when you're at your lowest, maybe turning to God. Yeah. So Jordan Peterson, kind of moving on with the Jordan Peterson, talks about religion being a uniting principle. It helps people through, you know, through a with a common order. And he says, you know, that's maybe why there's so much chaos in the world today, is that when you get rid of the uniting order, this brings about anxiety. It brings about social disunity because you have no uniting principles.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away hope, because hope is in relation to an ornating goal. This is all purely secular. If you're a part of this secular society, you don't have the uniting order of religion to keep you together. And, you know, even Dr. Oz Guinness mentions, well, the secular societies also have their uniting orders. They just fall apart when society pushes against them too hard. So when you have, much of the gender ideology is falling apart because their uniting order is a structure basically based on a clay structure that falls apart really easily when you throw logic at it. You know, women's sports is one of those. Women's sports are starting to turn around and saying, no, we're not going to keep allowing men to compete against women. So
come in and do this. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The more we get away from it. I mean, how long was it ago that they took prayer out of schools? 62, something like that.
Was that when they started taking prayer out of schools?
Because it took
a while in the rural parts of the country. And now you have people losing their jobs. You heard about that football coach who would say a prayer at the end of the games. And he always did it by himself, but then some of the kids started joining in. And then the administration got wind of it and were like, well, you can't do that. And he's like, well, it's my own personal prayer. I'm not telling the kids to come do it with me. And the school fired him. And I think he brought a lawsuit against the school because he was like, no, you can't infringe on my own personal beliefs. I don't know whatever happened with that, but you know, they talk about this. They say when you decimate the highest principles, it's going to come from somewhere. And that's why paganism is on the rise with a secular society. Where people are praying to Gaia and, you know, stuff like that. It's like, okay, well, you're holding the money as your God or sexuality as your God, you know, and that's, we see that online all the time. You know, when a woman's obsessed with the way she looks, that's her God. That's what she's.
Yeah, you had a quote where guy said, it's not that you.
No, it's not if you will worship,
it's what you will worship.
Yeah, it's not.
You will worship something.
Yeah, you will worship something.
And who is it? Is it Ben Shapiro that says that this nation has a God-sized hole in it?
yeah, it really does.
We've all got this God-sized hole in us.
Well, and COVID made it worse because people started leaving churches after COVID.
No. People have been dropping out of churches for a long time, before COVID.
But it escalated during COVID.
I'm sure.
I know people that never went back. They were going to church right up until COVID, and then just never went back.
Stopped. Yeah.
Stopped so, altogether. This is what happens when you get a secular society. They start worshiping government, and this is what they talk about. They start worshiping government, and so this is why you saw meltdowns after Trump got into office, and we also saw meltdowns when Biden got into office too. So it happens on both sides, but the problem is that both sides have their own. You know, the people might say that the right is more religious, but the truth is that they've lost religion too. They're just as bad. They've all become secular. They've all decided that religion is stupid and it's not important. And the truth is that if we had a uniting principle, maybe we wouldn't be as divided as we are. And this is what they talk about in this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great quote from it. Prager says, when society doesn't believe in God, they believe in anything.
Wow.
That's pretty much where we're at now with society.
Fair. Yeah, people believe in anything. That's interesting. Yeah, well, and believe in anything, but also just like we were saying, chosen a new religion, right? So what is your religion? And yes. Some of these kids they're like, okay, well, climate change is going to be their religion.
Yeah.
And they're going to fight against that, right? Or
gender, you know, some of these, sex.
Yeah, yeah. Some of these things, you know, pick your topic, pick your, you adopt that hook, line, and sinker, and then that's your religion. But I mean, we might be seeing a reversion yeah. back.
Well, and this is very interesting because, you know, some of the, what do you call them? The thought gurus, they're all talking about going back to a religious basis because they have all seen what a secular society has brought.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it hasn't, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to say, oh, hey, our society is doing really well right now. It's not, you know, I think, COVID was this huge magnifying glass on our society that like came and it just yeah. shone on everything. And we got to see firsthand all the bullshit that the world is in right now. I mean, we, since COVID, we're embroiled in two proxy wars right now. Mm-hmm. And it's insane. Because leading up to COVID, we had pretty much stopped all wars.
What did you think? They went on for a while about sacrifice. I can't remember which one said it, but he said, you can lie and cheat, but if you don't make the necessary sacrifices, well, they were using basketball as an example. For basketball, you won't be a great basketball player. So it seems like we, in a lot of ways, want our cake and want to eat it too. You know, the stuff, oh, you know, we can't have our tests too hard. And I can't remember if it was in this episode, but at some point one of the guys mentioned how people graduating from Harvard graduated with a 2.9 GPA. I think is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're graduating with like a 4.0 GPA. And the point of that is just that maybe we're not pushing.
The standards like have been lowered.
We're not pushing our kids hard enough. It's all, oh, well, we don't want to make them feel bad to get, you know, a C on this paper, blah, blah, you know, kind of thing. And that maybe we're just,
well,
and sacrifice isn't being
for a while. And you and I have talked about this before, but for a while, the military was talking about lowering their standards.
Yeah.
So they could fill in their quotas. And it's like, that's not the answer. Like, what are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. If you lower mm-hmm. those standards, those people are going to get killed easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are you thinking? I think this is a byproduct of a society that no longer respects meritocracy because what we've done is like, well, we don't like meritocracy because it leaves people out and we don't want anybody to feel bad. Well, that person needs to feel bad because that person didn't try hard enough. You know, I'm always amazed by the, you know, the kind of thing that brings about resilience. And we don't push resilience anymore in our society. People are fragile.
Well, and isn't that kind of the reason that this is, it's so funny that now like working out is apparently right wing.
That's so,
like, isn't that just so bizarre that,
wow,
that gym, that being a gym bro or something is now
gym rat,
considered,
yeah,
a gym rat is like considered to be,
yeah.
Like, it's, and you know who Scott Galloway is, right?
I've heard of him. You've mentioned him a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely a lefty, but he's like, why in the world? Where did the left go so wrong to allow the right to
occupy working out,
like masculine traits, or we allowed the right to have a monopoly on masculine traits and working out?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, where did that, but well, to that's your what point, you're just like, we've allowed these systems that have like been so soft, and that sacrifice we haven't asked that sacrifice. And so, and it's really probably comes from this place of like not wanting to hurt feelings. This kind of goes back to they talk about the eatable mother,
yeah,
a little bit in this episode.
In this, yeah.
So maybe we get into that, but yeah, go ahead.
The eatable mother is this concept of overt compassion. Now, most people think that compassion is this thing that is necessary. It's necessary to raise children. It's pretty much not necessary after you've raised children, because you still want compassion for your fellow man. But if you are overtly compassionate, you will raise fragile people, and people will become fragile. The world is going to chew up and spit out most kids who are fragile.
Yeah.
Who don't understand that there is evil and that you could become a victim of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we've been overly compassionate. Jordan Peterson,
he has this quote. He says, he attributes this quote to Freud. And I don't think he was trying to directly quote him. I think he was kind of giving a paraphrase, right? But he says the fundamental danger to the ability, to the abiding spirit of mankind, was the devouring element of blind compassion.
Yes.
Right. So, and I tried to find this quote, but he's taking an essence,
yeah,
out of Freudian literature, right? Which was the fundamental danger to the ability, to the abiding spirit of mankind, was the devouring element of blind compassion. So the devouring element of blind compassion, I liked that.
That is very
phrase, but it's just, it seems like that's kind of what we've done. This society, we've kind of just like, yeah, oh, no hurt feelings. Oh, no, you don't need
everybody
to
gets a medal.
Do tough things. Oh,
everybody gets a medal.
Everybody gets a medal, yeah, right? All these, yeah, kind of things, like,
we've been doing that. Everybody gets
the coddling of the American mind.
Yeah, the coddling of the American mind. So we've been doing the everybody gets a medal thing for 20 years, 30 years. Because I remember it being, do you remember, it's a romantic comedy with Michelle Pfeiffer and George Clooney. It was called One Fine Day. It's about two single parents who are, you know, keep interacting. Do you remember this movie?
I got to see this one again, because like it. Yeah, I like that show.
It's a good romantic comedy. It's funny.
Yeah.
So George Clooney and Michelle Pfeiffer meet each other. They vaguely know each other because their kids go to the same school or are on the same soccer team. And the whole point is, in the movie, at some point during the movie, one of the kids says, oh, well, we don't need a win because everybody gets a medal at the end of the of the game. And that is a 20-year-old movie at this point. Maybe 20, 25. It came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
So it's a 25-year-old movie. So we have been doing this. We've been doing Everybody Gets a Trophy for a really, really long time. And it was designed based on compassion.
Yeah.
It was designed to go, you're not a loser, you're a winner. It goes back to the unintended consequences, right? So the unintended consequences of us saying that you're to both teams, both soccer teams, one loses, one wins, but you both get trophies. What we've done is we've created a society of children who don't want to work hard to win. So because they're going to get the trophy, right? They're going to, regardless of whether they work hard to win or not, they're going to get a trophy. And so because of this, we've just designed an entire nation of people who freak out when Donald Trump gets elected president, who cry on the street because one, they don't have God in their life. And two, they expect a trophy. That's where our society has gone. And now meritocracy is dead, and now we've got these dignitaries when it comes to the Bible, talking about the Bible, going, you know, maybe we need to get back to this. Maybe we need to get back to some semblance of religion, maybe we don't need to tear down all the norms. Maybe we've torn them down enough, and maybe we should start building them back up.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe it's a chance for us to build it back up in something I hate the word better, but I mean, we grew up in a fundamentalist religion that put all of their eggs in the one basket of one man, right? Like one guy called all the shots. And I don't think that's a good place to go back to, right?
No.
Like,
no.
In fact, it's funny to me that sometimes I will hear Catholics they'll kind of rah-rah about things that the Pope's doing. Like that just, it kind of baffles me that I'm just like, we didn't really get that. Like, you know, it was just, you kind of just had to uphold what the one guy was saying. And so maybe we can get away from, you know, one-itis, or we can.
Well, it still needs to go back to a meritocracy. It still needs to go the person that works the hardest, the person that is the most successful should rise to the top. Now, we shouldn't make him the leader at the top.
Yeah.
Maybe a group of guys who have all risen to the top, but, you know, meritocracy seems to be slowly dying in to make way for overt compassion.
Yeah.
And there's no better way to look at that than in the entertainment industry.
No.
We just had one of the worst years for movies.
Case in point. Hey, Dune was good.
Dune was good.
Here's to one.
Here's to one this year. But I'm talking about last year. We just came through last year, and you could probably maybe count three, maybe five good movies out of what, like 80 that came out. So,
yeah.
Any final thoughts on that, brother?
No, I think I liked what some of the guys were saying at the end, because I mentioned it, but this kind of culminated in, because I think what they did is they were all staying together, and they did these episodes over course of a few days.
Yeah, back to back.
And this was the end of that. And they were their plan was to come back and do it, and they've done more, right? So
we'll get to those.
But they kind of they were kind of saying their goodbyes a little bit on this one. And but I liked what some of them said, which was just like, hey, like there might be something here for people that are listening. So maybe check it out. If you're searching, it's so funny. I just think I keep thinking Lost Boys with our nation right now. I just keep thinking Lost Boys and a little bit like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Lord of the Flies, a bunch of these kids, and they're just like, hey, let's pick on this person. And just like, they don't know what they're doing. And it seems like we've kind of given the reins to a bunch of kids that just don't know what they're doing. Right. Like, doesn't it feel that way? It kind of just feels like we've given the reins
to a bunch of idiots
that don't know what they're doing. It probably, case in point, it's just like our president is asleep at the wheel. Right.
And we're all screaming at him. Culture. Going, don't wreck this car. Don't wreck this car.
Yeah. Like it's just, it's all kind of, so I keep thinking like Lost Boys, but maybe this is the way, like, how do we get back to something that resembles, you know, some reason and logic but maybe, you know, faith, and also because like reason and logic can
coincide together with faith. You can still have faith and still have your reason too. And then see, this is the Bill Maher's of the world. Bill Maher, as much as he's kind of become kind of a centrist lately, he's always said that religious people were dumb, or religious people don't follow their logic. Mm-hmm. But we're in a world now that was brought on by only logic. So maybe we need the balance.
Well, logic, it seems like we went logic for a while, and let's take God out of it. Okay. It's all just reason and logic. And then we just reason and logic. And then it kind of turned into all about feelings. Right.
Yeah.
And that, I mean,
because that became the religion.
Right. You can't run everything off of reason and logic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
you got to have a little bit of religion in it, because it's funny, because it's almost like it goes back to unintended consequences. We are in the unintended consequences of the logic based society that we started out with in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it probably started earlier than that, but it kind of had its peak in the 90s, where everybody was like, oh no, I'm an atheist. And it's like, okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
But what about the people who need religion in their lives? Oh, they're going to find religion through, global warming or the environment or the gender ideology, or, you know, all these things that have no logic to them, that aren't science based anymore. So you need the science and you need the religion kind of as a balancing act between the two, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Greek teleology needs to be combined with Judeo-Christian beliefs. They need to intertwine with each other.
Who was it in this episode that said we've built our society has kind of been built around like Greek, and then the Hebrew Bible and the Greek
teleology
philosophers.
Yeah.
And he was saying we have leaned too far to the Greek kind of society. And maybe it's our time to kind of bring the pendulum back to the Judeo-Christian.
Society does this all the time. We pendulum swing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, on that note, I guess we can wrap it up. Thanks for joining us, audience. We would appreciate if you check us out on social media, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just look for The Sword and the Skull. Please spread the word.
Tell us what you think in the comments.
Yep. Tell us what you think in the comments. Spread the word. Let people know. We like to talk about religion. We like to talk about movies. So there's a little bit of both every time we put something out. So in the meantime, keep reading, keep listening, keep watching, learn more. We'll see you, brother.
See ya.